prior to where our scripture comes into play today, Peter had just pronounced that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in response to that, Jesus proclaimed that Peter would be the rock that the foundation of the church, or that the church would be built on. Well, with the confession of whom Jesus was and the foundation of the church made, Jesus decided it was time for his followers to begin to understand why he was there and what he was going to have to do to fulfill his calling there on earth. You see, the disciples, they had been traveling with him for a little while, but they still didn't fully understand what it was he had to do and why. I mean, they were beginning, like Peter, to understand that he was the Messiah, the Savior, but they still were thinking in terms of humanistic terms. In other words, before Jesus ever set foot on earth, people were already thinking about how it was going to be, you know. And most people thought that Jesus, the Messiah, would come to earth, and then he would reign on earth. Everybody would know who he was automatically, and he would get the biggest castle around and reign right there from earth. And of course, as we know, or I hope we remember from reading the Bible, it didn't work out that way. And so there was a lot of confusion. And I think that may have been a lot of why they were having trouble catching on. Now, some scholars will have you believe that the disciples were not the smartest bunch in the world. And their theory for this is based on, you can take any one of the Gospels, read it through, the whole journey of Christ, and you can see where consistently, over and over again, Jesus is turning and talking to them and saying, basically, don't you get it yet? Oh, ye of little faith? I've been teaching you. You know, we look at that, and it's all through their journeys. You know, Jesus keeps coming back to, you know, but I've told you, haven't you got it yet? So some scholars would have you believe that disciples just weren't very smart. And that might be part of it. Part of it, I believe, is just a confusion about the way of thinking. But at any rate, Jesus decides it's time to try to clear the air and once and for all help them to understand what it is he's going to have to do. And just in case we're not sure, or maybe we're having a senior moment, or maybe we haven't completely understood it, we need to turn for a minute back to Jesus' birth and remember the angelic pronouncement when the angel said that he should be called Jesus, because that means to make whole, to save. And this is exactly what Jesus was supposed to do, is to make us whole, to save. In other words, Jesus was sent here by God to save and to heal our fragmentary lives and to make us whole so we can become fit for the kingdom of God. Praise God. That's a big job. And that's what he was called to do, and that's what he did. And it was during this time of explaining to the disciples his mission and what he was called to do that he pointed out that he was going to have to die at the hands of the priests and the elders. He was going to have to suffer horribly and then die in order to fulfill this. And this, without a doubt, caught them off guard. Because again, that was not what they had been thinking. That's not what, in man's mind, what they had discerned was going to be how it was all going to go. You know, they figured he'd live for a long time on earth and rule for a long time on earth. So they were very surprised at this. And it kind of reminds me of a story I heard about an employee at a chicken factory. Now, I know this is stretching a little bit, but go with me on it. The employee at the chicken factory overheard one of the managers one day say, "We're going to cut the fat." So immediately, rumors started running around the factory that people were going to be losing their jobs. They're going to be downsizing. Okay? And then a couple days later, the general manager got up and at the podium at the meeting and made the announcement that from now on, they're going to be cutting more fat from the chickens. And of course, this was received with great joy and applause from all the employees. You see, it was a misunderstanding. And like the story of the chickens, there's a misunderstanding or misconstruing of the words of what's going on, the facts, in our gospel reading as well. Peter doesn't perceive what it is that Christ must do in order to accomplish or fulfill the goal of being Messiah. He heard what Jesus said he had to do. He had to die. But in Peter's mind, that just didn't make sense to him. So in Peter's mind, Jesus is the Savior, the Christ. He can do anything he wants. He could go out and live the rest of his life in peace and harmony in another province, in another country somewhere, away from all these folks that don't care for him. He didn't have to die. You know, this is what Peter's thinking. He's the Son of the living God, by golly. So Peter, with his head full of rocks, jumps in front of Jesus and says, God forbid it, Lord. God forbid it. This doesn't have to happen. You don't have to die. You're Christ. You can do what you want. But Peter hears what Jesus is saying, but he misses what Jesus' point is. He misses the understanding. He hears the words, but he doesn't get the understanding. How many times do we pronounce who Jesus Christ is and we don't really know what we're saying? We say Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but do we really take time to think about what that really means? Or how many times do we think of Christ or God in humanistic terms instead of in God terms or with the mind of God? You know, a situation arises and we say, well, God wouldn't have us do that. That would be too difficult, or that doesn't make sense to us, or, you know, surely God doesn't mean for us to do this. Are we thinking with the right mind? How many times do we become a stumbling block instead of a foundation rock? Well, getting back to Peter, like a master sergeant, Jesus rebukes Peter and tells him to fall back in line with his words, get behind me, Satan. Now, Jesus doesn't perceive Peter as the prince of darkness. And there is some confusion about that among people because Jesus used those very same words when he rebuked the devil when he was being tempted. We see that in our Bible. But Jesus did not see Peter as the prince of darkness. He saw Peter as a stumbling block. And that's kind of what Satan means is stumbling block or obstacle, something that keeps you from doing what you know you're supposed to do. And he saw Peter at that moment getting in his way of what he knew he was called to do. Again, you see, Peter was thinking in terms of an earthly mind and not a godly mind. Peter was thinking the way most of the people at that time thought about Jesus, who knew and loved him. They didn't want him to go. They wanted him to stay with them forever. I mean, after all, he was the greatest thing since sliced manna. You know? He was it. He was outperforming miracles and doing all those things. Why would they want him to leave? They just didn't understand that he had to. It wasn't about what Christ wanted to do or could do. It was about what Christ had to do. It was about what God had called him to do. Peter, in a split second, went from being the foundation rock of the church to a stumbling block that fast. And maybe that's part of the point of this scripture, is that we too can find ourselves going from foundation block, from something that God can balance his ministry on and use for his ministry to a stumbling block when we get the wrong mindset. We too, like Peter, can become a stumbling block to Christ and to others by putting our own agenda before that of Christ. by saying, well, yes, okay, God, I know you're calling me to do this, but, you know, I need to get my bills paid off, or, you know, I need to wait till the kids grow up before I get involved in that, or, you know, the timing's not right, God. Maybe in about 5 years I'll be ready to fulfill this for you, God. Stumbling block. We can become a stumbling block by thinking in terms of an earthly mind instead of a godly mind. Many families of missionaries cry out, why? When their loved ones come to them and say, I've been called into the missionary field, and I've got to go to this country over here that's dangerous and live basically in poverty to spread the gospel to these folks. And their families go, why? You don't have to go over there and preach. You can preach in this country, in this town, where it's safe. Why? Those people are not thinking with a godly mind. They're thinking with their own mind, with a humanistic mind. It doesn't make sense to them why their loved one has to go in harm's way. I think about many pastors that are second career pastors. They were doing another kind of job and then felt the call to ministry in midlife. And many of them, I've heard stories of many of them that worked in corporate America, was making $70,000 to $80,000 a year, you know, big salaries. And then they go home to their wives and say, I'm going to give it all up and go into ministry. And of course, understandably, a lot of their wives go, are you crazy? You're going to do what? You know, and their families say, why? And their friends say, why? Why do you want to? You can just get more involved in your church. You don't have to give everything up to go into ministry. You know, why? And again, that's because they're thinking in terms of humanistic terms. They're thinking in terms of what makes sense to them, what they can see, you know, in their mind. And what happens to us when we become a stumbling block to Christ? Does He punish us? Does He banish us from church? No. He deals with us the same way that He dealt with Peter. He calls us to fall back in line with the troops. Not to punish us, but for a time of enlightenment. A time of learning. To rediscover some things maybe we've forgotten. Or to get us on the right track. He calls us back in line to get focused. Let me see if I can explain it this way. As Christians, we have special lenses that we're supposed to look through to see things. I call them faith lenses. And when God calls us to do something, or calls the church to do something, we have to look at that through our faith lenses. And when we do, what we see is we see Jesus out in front of us plowing the way. And that's what gives us the guide, and we say, gotta do it, gotta go, Jesus is calling me, He's right out in front of me plowing the way, I gotta go, gotta do it. But when we backpedal a little bit, or stumble, or whatever you want to call it, and begin to look at things through our own mind and not through our faith lenses, then we start seeing all the questions. We start trying to reason it out with our human reason. And that's where we become a stumbling block, because we quit staying focused on Jesus Christ. And we start focusing on what we think is right, what we want, what we feel meets our needs. We got to continue to look through those faith lenses and see Christ right out there in front of us saying, come on, this is what I want you to do. And I'm ahead of you, cutting away. I'm right here with you. Come on. And this is what so many times happens to people when we say, you know, I'm going to start getting involved in this area in the church or in this thing. I feel God's really calling me to do this in this ministry. And people say, oh, why do you want to do that? And you say, hey, I got to go. I got to do it. Well, they're not looking through their faith lenses, and you are. And sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're laying in bed at night, and I know I have, and we're looking up at the ceiling, and we know God's been putting something on our heart to do, and we go, you know, God, it's just bad timing. Maybe, you know, let me work on that, work towards that. Let me make that a goal. Maybe in about 5 years I'll be ready to do that, you know. Got to get my ducks in a row, you know. Or God, I don't have the gifts for that. Oh, we love to hide behind that one. Even preachers, I've heard, hide behind that one. Heard a preacher once at a class, and he's a street preacher. He came to a seminar down in Leesburg. And he, boy, he's a dynamic, but dynamic preacher. And I said, well, are you preaching at a church? He says, no, I just preach out on the streets. He says, I'm a member of a church, but I just do street preaching. And I said, well, have you considered, you know, going into the ministry in the church? He says, no. He says, God hasn't given me the gift of meetings. I said, what do you mean? He says, I just don't, he says, I love to preach. He says, I don't like to do meetings. He says, God hasn't given me the gift of meetings. See, even preachers hide behind that. God hasn't given us the gifts. How do we know what gifts God has given us or going to give us if we don't go out and do what He's calling us to do? If we quit, how do we know if we're gonna, if we continue to be a stumbling block to Him, we'll never know what gifts He has in store for us. God is calling us to pick up our cross, to deny ourselves and follow Him. We've read that time and time again in the scriptures. I know you all have, and I have too. And when He says deny ourselves, He means deny our way of thinking. Deny that humanistic thinking and focus on Him. Start thinking with a godly mind instead of a human mind. Pick up your cross and follow Him. So what are you today? What have we been this week? Have you been a stumbling block this week or a foundation rock? Have you answered what God has called you to do, or have you supported other people in what they're trying to do by saying, yes, Jesus is out in front, you've got to follow Him, go for it? Or have you been asking the questions and making the excuses? Why? What's going on? This is not the right timing. Have you been a stumbling block or a foundation rock? And what are you going to do about it? I encourage you this morning that if you feel you've been a stumbling block here recently, that when you come down to take the communion supper this morning, a communion meal this morning, that you ask God to change that around, to help you to begin to be a foundation rock, to be that person that God can say, I'm going to use you to support this ministry. I'm going to put you in charge right here. I've got you in place. Ask Him to help you to give up that stumbling. Ask Him to help you to get refocused and to look through those faith lenses. To clean them off if you need to, so you can see through them clearly. Be a foundation rock. And just find out all the many gifts He has ready for you. Will you join me in prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we try so hard, like Peter did, to be your foundation rock, to lift you up on high, and to be ready and willing to do what you call us to do, and to be a source of strength and power in your kingdom. But Father, so many times along the way we get tripped up and we become a stumbling block. We become a barrier to what you would have, to what you need done in your kingdom. Father, we just pray this morning that you will help us to shed that stumbling block and become that solid foundation as Peter was, that you may build this church on us and your kingdom on us, and that we may become mighty warriors for you. Help us to deny ourselves and to pick up our cross and follow you, Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.